Hallelujah. How many know there's sometimes you just don't feel like rejoicing? I got a few amens on that. Hallelujah. But a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? That's part of what's so therapeutic about worship, is it changes your heart. Amen. Changes your focus, changes your thinking, changes your atmosphere. Hallelujah. So sometimes you just got to choose to rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. I was thinking as I come down the road this morning, my scripture for last Sunday when I began, does anybody remember? For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the time of the singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle or the turtle dove is heard in our land. How many know that's just as true this Sunday as it was last Sunday? However, when I came down the road, my circumstances did not necessarily line up with what my heart said. When I looked over on the mountain, there was snow on the mountain. Amen. There was snow on our deck this morning. It was below freezing temperatures. That doesn't change the season that we're in. It's still spring. Hallelujah. It's still spring. And you know, I thought sometimes we can look at external circumstances in our life and be confused as to what God is doing or what season we're in. But how many know God's never changed his mind? It does not change who we are, where we are in this time and in this season. Because even though it was cold this morning and I saw snow, I'm still convinced in my heart it's spring. Hallelujah. And I'm going to look ahead to what's ahead of me. Amen. I mean, a winter is behind me. Can we say a big old amen to that? Winter is behind me and spring has sprung. Hallelujah. Now, we talked last week about our beloved being in the garden. Hallelujah. And that's the sound that we hear, the sound of the turtle dove. I heard a dove cooing at my house the other day, and I had to just smile for a little bit. What a precious, pleasant sound it is to hear the coo of the dove. Amen. Have you ever heard the sound of the doves, and they're cooing right now? I guess maybe they're calling for their mates. I don't know. Maybe it's mating season. But I heard the sound of the turtle dove this week. Hallelujah. How many know if you'll listen, you'll hear the sound of the turtle dove in your life today? Because your beloved wants to speak to you. The sound of his spirit, the sound of his Holy Spirit is speaking in our lives. Hallelujah. And it's declaring that our winter is past. Our rain is over and gone. How many are ready for the rain to be over and gone? Hallelujah. The time of the singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Hallelujah. And so the scripture says, oh, and over in Song of Solomon, my beloved has come into his garden. Hallelujah. Hello, garden. And he talks about he's eaten his spices and his fragrances and all of those things that happens in the garden. How many know Jesus, our beloved, has come into his garden? So that Mary Magdalene, when she sees him in the garden and she's distraught and she's overwhelmed and she's confused and she doesn't know what has happened, and she said, sir, if you have taken away my Lord, could you tell me where you have placed him that I might go and mourn and weep over what I thought was? And the scripture says she's supposing him to be the gardener. Began to commune with him and said, what have they done with my Jesus? Hallelujah. But when Jesus spoke, he said one word, and he said her name, Mary. And when he said her name, she responded to him, Rabboni, which means that is the voice of my master. Hallelujah. How many know it is my desire, it is our challenge and our calling to know the voice of the gardener. That when he speaks my name And when he begins to declare and speak things, I know whose voice that is. And I respond in a way that I know that that's my master, my Rabboni, that is my Savior, my Lord. And he's speaking. And whatsoever he says to you, do it. Hallelujah. Because I believe there is a challenge for all of us to know not just that he knows our voice, but that we know his voice. I mean, he probably knows my voice well. He hears from me probably quite often. Maybe not as often as he needs to. Hallelujah. But I mean, no, there's a greater desire not for just him to hear my voice, but me to hear his voice and to know that it's his voice and respond when I hear it. Amen. Anybody else in the house? I don't want to just be, is this God? Is that God? God, what are you saying? Where are you leading me? We sang that song, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Did you all sing that this morning? Raise your hand if you sang that song. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for him to lead you in places where your trust does not have borders or limits? Because I sang it this morning, I keep saying, Lord, I am ready for you to take me to places where my trust is without borders. And here's what I felt like he said. You've sang that song for 2 years now. Are you ready for what you're singing? And I say, Lord, I need to know your voice. I need to hear your voice. Because when you make a way, when you open a door, no man can shut it. And when you shut a door, no man can open it. Hallelujah. I'm ready for the divine in my life, where I step into areas and places in my life that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I've heard the voice of the Father, and I'm responding only to his voice, not my desire, not my will, not my thoughts. But when he says to me, and he says my name, I respond by saying, my master. See, I believe there was something about the way Jesus spoke that they responded. How many know when Jesus spoke to Peter and he challenged him to get out of the boat and to step out on the water, Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. How many know he had heard his voice daily? He had seen his miracles before. But how many know sometimes our vision is so clogged by circumstances that are happening around us, the waves that we're fighting, the storms that are howling, that we lose sight of him and we lose our, I don't know if we lose our faith or our vision or whatever it is, but he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. But how many know when you make that statement, his response is always come. It's always come. Hallelujah. And he stepped out of the boat. But when Jesus came to them on the shore after the resurrection, and Peter and the boys said, we're going fishing. And they said, then we're going fishing with you. And they all went back out on the boat. But guess what? Everything that they had done before, everything they had trained all of their life for, now was not working. They were fishermen. They knew how to fish. They knew which net. They knew the bait. They knew the hot spots. Any fishermen in here today? You know where to go. You know what pole to use. You know what bait to put on. You know what season to go in. You know where it should be working. And they get out on the boat, Brother Jim, and they know how to handle a boat, and they know what this is all about. And it's not working. And Jesus simply stands on the shore and he says, hey, did you catch anything? Do you have any meat? That's how he said it in King James. What it really means is, hey, fishermen, do you have any fish? And the fishermen had to say, no. How disappointing to go fishing and not catch any fish. He said, then cast your net on the other side of the ship. Now me, I'm thinking, here's how I would respond. Oh, really? Like we haven't tried that side of the ship Am I in the room by myself today? Come on. These are fishermen. They're professional at what they're generational fishermen. Really? Like we didn't try that side of the boat? So they cast their net on the other side of the boat. And so I ask you, is it because the net was full of fish? Or is it because Peter realizes, I heard that voice before? And that voice told me to get out of the boat. Think outside the box. Step out to where your trust is without borders. Step out into another area. And when I did, I walked on water. And every time I respond to that voice, something big happens. Something miraculous happens. And he says, that's my Lord. Because when he speaks, things happen. When he speaks, things change. That is the voice of my Lord. And the scripture tells us that Peter's the first one that gets to the shore. Now, it neglects to tell us whether he swam or whether he walked. Doesn't really matter, but he responded to the voice that said, cast your net on the other side of the ship. And here's the deal. Jesus did not even need his fish because he already had bread and fish on the fire. I didn't need your fish. I needed your fellowship. I didn't need your fish. I needed your obedience. I didn't need your fish. I needed your ear. I needed your response. Hallelujah, because we got business. Hallelujah. He had some unfinished business. How many know he sat around the fire and he instructed his disciples before his ascension and gave them some specific instructions? But to Peter specifically, and you've heard me preach this many times, to Peter specifically, Peter denied him three times. Three times the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. For every time Peter had denied him, Jesus gave him opportunity to say, Lord, you know I love you. Hallelujah. Because see, if you love with all of your heart, hallelujah. He said, Peter, remember we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. He says to Peter, Peter, you're going to deny me before the cock crows. He's like, man, really? Like, I'll die with you, Lord. And yet when pressure came, he did just what the Lord had said to him. But Jesus said to Peter, even before he ever denies him, but don't let your heart be troubled. Another version says, you trust God, trust me. Hallelujah. How many know there's sometimes that you just got to live by trust? You just have to trust him in some things. Hallelujah. Our trust has to be in him. But don't let your heart be troubled. Because how many know heart trouble will cause you to take your focus off of what is true, what is right, and what is prophetic? How many know the scripture? Jesus already said to Peter, Peter, when you're old, another's going to gird you and carry you about wherever you need to go. And I always thought, what a thing to say to Peter. But how many know I believe Peter has confidence to do what the Lord has called him to do because he said, you know what? He said, I'm going to get old. Exactly. You're going to get old, Peter. You're not going to die in the mob. You're not going to die in the crowd. You're not going to die in prison. How many know there came a time when Peter and them are in the prison? Somewhere you got to go back to the trust factor and say, wait a minute. He said, when I get old, this ain't old. How old is old? How old is old? But how many know when the Messiah... None of us are there yet, right? Right? We're not claiming that. Woo! You're not old till you quit being young. You're not old till you quit. He said, Peter, when you get old, And he said, strengthen the brethren. Hallelujah. My sheep know my voice.
You know, there's a time when we get close enough to him. Even as the disciples, you know, there was such turmoil, they didn't know what to think then. But the closer we get to him, the more we know his voice. You just know in your heart when he speaks to you. You know, it's kind of a cute little thing on Facebook yesterday that said, wanted, fishers of men. You catch them, God will clean them. And you know, if we stand by those things, if we just speak to people and they get saved, and let the rest up to God, and God will do what He says He will do. You know, I've served Him now 50 years, and I never get tired of thanking Him and praising Him for the blessings and the goodness of God in my life, and for allowing me to hear His voice. You know, just that I know that I know that I know. And I just love him today. And I just, you know, sometimes I don't want to hear what he says. I don't know if anybody else has ever been there or not, but, and I'll say, you know, you really don't mean that, you know. But, you know, if you step out, like you said, in that faith and believe in God and trust, that's the big thing, trust him.
Amen.
You'll go where he tells you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that he's a patient God? That he teaches and trains us. Hallelujah. The first scripture I wanted to bring up this morning is Psalm 61, 1 and 2. Pretty familiar point of scripture, but you know, even in thinking about the disciples and in that season, how many know from the season from the cross to the resurrection was a dark time? It was a time where the disciples had seen a scenario play out which was not what they had hoped for. It's not what they thought was going to happen. How many know one of the thoughts on Judas betraying Jesus was the thought that maybe it would force his hand to step up and overthrow the rule of the time and of the day that would cause him to be the king and establish himself and his throne in the earth and all of those kind of things. And I mean, no, that's what they were waiting for, the king. Hail, Hosanna in the highest, you know, to the Son of David. And here the one comes into the city and riding in on the colt and the foal of an ass. And he's our hope and he's our life. And yet when the scenario played out, how many know it was a little bit disappointing? It was a little bit overwhelming, and it was a little bit disconcerting, and the scripture says that the disciples kind of scattered, and they kind of hid out, and they kind of were held up in upper rooms, and they weren't sure what was going to happen from this point on. Hallelujah. How many know the vision in their head is what they've seen on the cross? Hallelujah. How many know it's real easy to look behind you and not ahead of you? Hallelujah. And it's real easy to focus and turn and focus on what's back there when you don't know what's up there. And so, you know, they're in this time, and you know, even when Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb, she comes, she's very overwhelmed, and she's come to anoint the body of the man that she loves, that she had walked in his ministry, and he had done so much for her, and you know, she comes to anoint. She said, if you just tell me where you've taken him, just tell me where you've laid him, that I could go to him. And she goes to the disciples and she said, he's not there. He's not in the tomb. You know, and they come running and the scripture says, and one runs on inside and the other stays back. And then the other one comes in and they come in and look. And then when they see the grave clothes, it said, and then they could believe. Hallelujah. And they started to have faith again. But how many know they were still in a time of transition in their life? Amen? You ever been in transition before? They say transition is a maternal term. It has to do with labor and delivery. And when you get into transition, it's the point where the baby has positioned itself enough that it's about to be born. It's time to bear down and push. Anybody in here ever been in transition before? Now, you guys can say yes, too, because how many know there's sometimes in your life you got to bear down and push through some things? You just got to bear down and push through some things. Amen. We're more than conquerors. We're the head, not the tail. We're salt. We're light. You were victorious through Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I believe all of that. And that's what makes me push through some things. Amen. Hallelujah. And so here we are in Psalm 61 and 1. It says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Anybody in here ever been overwhelmed before? Hallelujah. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Aren't you glad that Jesus is our rock? He's the stone of stumbling. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the rock on which I stand. He's my solid rock. Hallelujah. How many know even when Mary was overwhelmed at the tomb, she came to the rock and the rock was rolled away. Hallelujah. She said, when I get there, who's going to roll the stone away? Who's going to roll the rock away? How many know when she got there, it said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock. How many know sometimes when my heart gets overwhelmed, I got to focus on the rock. You know, Arlene said it very efficiently this morning. We know what was paid for at Calvary. Amen. We know what was accomplished in 3 days and three nights. When he got up, I got up. When he was crucified, I was crucified. When he was buried, I was buried. And when he got up, I got up. And we now have resurrection life living in us. Sometimes I got to remind myself when my heart gets overwhelmed, I need to focus on that rock. I need to remember what was accomplished in 3 days and three nights, that the tomb is empty. He's not there. Hallelujah. He came that we might have life. And he brought life and immortality to us. Resurrection life. Because the scripture says, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken and make alive your mortal body. That's what the word says. Another translation doesn't say if, as if it was a question. It says, since that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it's going to quicken and make alive your mortal body. How many have felt the quickening of the Holy Spirit in your body before? Yeah. Hallelujah. Where he quickens and makes alive and causes life to come into your mortal body. Hallelujah. When my heart is overwhelmed, I need to focus on the rock. I need to focus on the stone that's been rolled away. I need to remind myself of what's already been done for me. Hallelujah. If it's been paid for, then I can cash in on it. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 77 is a psalm of Asaph. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I what? Complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, this writer, the psalmist here, Asaph, tells us, I remembered God and was troubled. I what? Complained, and my spirit was what? Overwhelmed. How many know sometimes it is the words and confession of our mouth that causes our spirit to be overwhelmed? Hallelujah. Have you ever been in a time of murmuring or complaining and then kind of listening, hearing yourself and knowing you're doing it and knowing you shouldn't? Thanks, Brina and Eileen. Now, there's two honest people in the room, because how many know sometimes we say some things with our mouth that we know with the confession of our mouth that's not true. And it's not what we should be confessing. confessing. Hallelujah. Because sometimes, even when it's true, to ponder on it and over and murmur on it and keep dwelling on it only causes your spirit to be overwhelmed. Hallelujah. So how many know you got to sometimes change your stinking thinking? Sometimes you've got to refocus. You've got, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock who is higher than I. Hallelujah. And so he said, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. And then it said Selah. You know what Selah means? Stop and think about that. Now just think about it a minute. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Now just think about that. That's what that scripture says. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. He says, I call to remember my song in the night. Hallelujah. How many know a song is powerful? A song can change your mood, can change your atmosphere. All right, how many have ever cried on a country music song? Come on. Never. Come on. Tell the truth. How many know song? If I am overwhelmed, if I am struggling, if I'm discouraged or distressed or in despair, I do not want to listen to sad songs. Amen? Because it just feeds into where I'm at. While I was down to Morgan, she said, Mom, let you and I go watch a movie. Dave's going to keep Elliot. We'll go watch a movie. So we go watch a movie, that movie called Miracles from Heaven. Has anybody seen it yet? When we come out, I said, Morgan, you do not get to pick any more movies. Because it's a little bit of a sad movie. Now, it has a really good ending. So if you haven't seen it, go and see it, because it does have a good ending, and it's a powerful testimony. But partway through the movie, we look at each other, and the tears are like, look, when I want to go to the movies, I want to laugh myself silly. I want pure entertainment. I want comedy. I deal with drama all the time. I don't pay for drama. That's just kind of how I feel. I don't want to pay for drama. I want to go and be entertained, right? We had a great time together, and I loved hanging out with her. And she said, Mom, it gets better. I said, thanks, Morgan. Because when we walked in the house, I told her husband that. I said, she does not get to pick any more movies that we go to. But we had a great time, and it was fun. And it is a good movie. So if you get to see it, go and see it. But I'm one of these people that if I want entertainment, I want laughter. I want comedy. I want, you know, I want something that's going to be uplifting to me. You know, we have a song. All of us have a song that we sing. And that song can either be gloom and despair, agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Going down the garden and eat worms. You all know that song, right? Obviously, you all have heard that song, Hee-Haw. Any Hee-Haw fans in the house? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. How many know that can be your song if you choose? Yeah. Hallelujah. Or we can do the happy song. You know, we can, you know, raise the roof and do the happy song. But how many know you got to choose sometimes what song comes out of your mouth? And, you know, literally I have been in situations in my life and pondering things and praying and seeking God for stuff and be singing a song. And it take me an hour or two to realize that the profession or the song that's coming out of my mouth is prophetic to what I have been praying and seeking God for. Hallelujah. And that happened to me not too long ago. I told you I was on the lawnmower and I was praying and I was interceding and I was seeking God for something. And the song that kept going over in my mind and in my heart, Georgia was singing it. She was singing it all day. Nothing is impossible. Through you, blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. Nothing is impossible. And that baby had sang that song all day. And it hits me about the fourth lap around the yard and the lawnmower that she's prophetically declaring to me everything that I'm asking God for. And I said, God, I'm just going to receive that prophetically, and I'm going to grab a hold of that, and I'm going to say nothing is impossible with you, that you are able to break strongholds that I can't break. You're able to break chains that I can't break. You're able to change hearts that I can't change. Hallelujah. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change because my circumstances change or because somebody else's circumstances change and affects me. I mean, sometimes the situation we're in is not even of our own doing. It might be somebody else's doings. But it doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change the rock who is higher than I. Hallelujah. It doesn't change the fact that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Go to it in the message, if you would, Robert, if you have that one. It says it more like we would say it. Okay, and I'm just going to read through the whole chapter here real quick. Then I want to jump over and get one more. It says, I tell you, I yell out loud. I yell out to my God. I yell with all my might. I yell at the top of my lungs. He listens. He's not hard of hearing. I found myself in trouble and went looking for my Lord. My life was an open wound that wouldn't heal. When friends said, everything will turn out all right, I didn't believe a word they said. I remember God and shake my head. I bow my head, then wring my hands. I'm awake all night, not a wink of sleep. I can't even say what's bothering me. I go over the days one by one. I ponder the years gone by. I strum my lute all through the night, wondering how to get my life together. Will the Lord walk off and leave us for good? Will he never smile again? Is his love worn threadbare? Has salvation promise burned out? Has God forgotten his manners? Has he angrily stalked off and left us? Just my luck, I said. The high God goes out of business just the moment I need him. None of you all ever sound like this, right? That's why I'm just going right on through. Once again, I'll go over what God has done. But look, we see it start to shift, and it starts to change. Right here, do you see it? Once again, I'll go over what God has done. Lay out on the table the ancient wonders. I'm going to start looking at something bigger than me. I'm going to start thinking higher. I'm going to quit focusing on where I'm at. I'm going to start to go back. I'm going to call to remembrance. I'm going to listen to some testimonies. I'm going to find somebody that's got a testimony they can share of the faithfulness, the goodness of God. I'm going to start remembering all the times God did hear me. I'll ponder all the things you've accomplished. I'll give a long, loving look at your acts. Oh, God, your way is holy. No God is great like God. You see the shift? They start to change the atmosphere. Thermostat or thermometer? First part is thermometer. Tell you the temperature in the room. But a thermostat starts to change the atmosphere, starts to change the temperature in the room. You're the God who makes things happen. You showed everyone what you can do. You pulled your people out of the worst kind of trouble, rescued the children of Jacob and Joseph. Ocean saw you in action. God saw you and trembled with fear. Deep ocean was scared to death. Clouds belched buckets of rain. Sky exploded with thunder. Your arrows flashing this way and that. From whirlwind came your thundering voice. Lightning exposed the world. Earth reeled and rocked. You strode right through ocean. Walked straight through roaring ocean. But nobody saw you come or go. Hidden in the hands of Moses and Aaron, you led your people like a flock of sheep. You rolled back the Red Sea. Is that the end of the? Okay, we'll stop there. I mean, no, what happens is it starts to shift. And it starts, something starts to change. Attitude starts to change. Focus starts to change. Thoughts start to change. Where he's looking starts to change. Instead of looking, oh me, and oh my, poor pitiful me, he starts to refocus. He said, you know what? I'm going to call to remember my song in the night. I'm going to start thinking about all the things that you've already done for me. I'm going to start praising you. The song says, I'll praise you in this storm. Hallelujah. I'm going to start praising my way through this. I'm going to sing my way through this. I'm going to refocus my mind so that my thoughts are on you, because your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Hallelujah. So he can said, I complained till my spirit was overwhelmed, but then I began to call to remembrance. I got a hold of myself. I started to talk to myself. Hallelujah. I won't ask you that question. But he started to talk to himself. Amen. And if you start to talk to yourself, you ought to have an answer. Amen. You ought to have an answer. And he starts to encourage himself. How many know sometimes you got to encourage yourself? Because if all the voices around you are negative voices, are not anointed voices, then you might have to tune out some voices till you can hear what's true and what's right. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things of lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. Ponder these things. Keep your focus on these things. Jump over to Luke 24, 13 through 32, and I'll try to wrap it up with this. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. It's about a 7-mile journey. It's about a 2-hour trip. Okay? 7 miles, about 2 hours, they said. We said if it was a 5K, it's 3.2, something like that. 10K is 6.4, something like that. It's a little over a 10K, all right? 7-mile journey, 2 hours. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. How many know the scripture says, come, let us reason together. They're reasoning amongst themselves, but Jesus comes to reason together with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? In other words, hey guys, what's up? And why are you so sad today? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, and I love, this is one of my, probably one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Easter story. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yeah, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. How many know their heart is overwhelmed? They're on the road from Jerusalem. It's about a 7-mile journey. And all of a sudden, this stranger comes along beside them and say, hey, guys, what's up? And why are you so sad? And so they start to say to him, and I love this because they said, are you a stranger to Jerusalem? A stranger to Jerusalem. And do you not know what has gone on here the last few days? And all the commotion that has happened and everything that has taken place here over the last 3 days. And Jesus says to them, what things? Now, listen, we know he knows what things. So when he's asking you a question, it's generally not to get information that he already knows. How many know he's challenging to see if you know the information? He says to them, what things? Now, in response to that, he would say, well, what things are you talking about? But I think it's a very profound statement that he makes. Do you not know what happened in Jerusalem? And do you understand what things have taken place here? And he says to them, what things? What took place? What really happened here in Jerusalem in the last 3 days? And I told you last week we will probably be forever knowing the answer to that question totally. Everything that took place in 3 days and three nights at the cross of Calvary. Jesus said to them, no, go ahead and tell me what things did take place here. What really happened in Jerusalem? And what did they say? They told you all of the things that had negatively taken place. Well, about this Jesus of Nazareth, the one we put all of our hopes in. We had all of our eggs in one basket. We fully trusted him, and they crucified him. The girls went to the tomb. He's not there. The boys said they checked it out. When they say that he was risen, we don't know. But my heart is a little overwhelmed. Hallelujah. Go on to the next one. Then said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. And so what he does is he begins to, you see the switch. You see it flip. You see the focus change, just as we did in Psalm 77. We started out focusing on everything that was negative, everything that seemed contrary or opposite of what we thought shoulda, woulda, coulda happened. Now all of a sudden, Jesus begins to flip it back and says, wait a minute, guys. Ought the scriptures not be fulfilled? Do you not remember? Do you know what the scrolls said? Do you know what was prophesied that these things could happen? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. If ever there was a sermon that I wanted to hear, even more than the Sermon on the Mount, or the blessed are they who are poor, or any of the sermons that Jesus preached to the multitude, and even the great big fish and bread that was distributed to all those things would have been amazing. They would have been phenomenal to be there and see Jesus feed 5,000 with five loaves of bread and two fish. But if ever there was one scenario, one sermon I could have personally heard, it's the one where Jesus gives to Cleopas and some unknown person all things concerning himself from Moses and the prophets. I mean, Jesus shows up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Who's he show up with? Moses and the prophets. Moses and Elijah. And Peter says, hey guys, I got a great idea. Let's build three tabernacles. Let's build one for Moses, one for Jesus, and one for Elijah. But the Father speaks up and said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. I mean, no, he came to make of twain, law and the prophets, one new man. How many know the fulfillment of the law and the prophets is in the person of Jesus Christ? And so beginning of Moses and the prophets, Isaiah, all of those great men of old, he teaches them and shares with them all things concerning himself. Where do you start? If you're going to start at Moses, where do you start? Do you start in the bulrushes where God saved him from the hand of Pharaoh? Do you start at the Passover? Where he says, you know, remember when you took the lamb in the house? That was me. Remember the blood on the doorpost? That was me. Remember your exodus out of Egypt and out of bondage? That was me. Remember parting the Red Sea? That was me. Remember the manna in the wilderness? That was me. Remember the tabernacle, the brazen laver, the table showbread, the mercy seat, the most holy place. Do you know all those things? That was me. I have become those things. And so when we go to the book of Hebrews and we start reading Hebrews, we find out there's a better covenant, a better sacrifice, a better priesthood, a better mercy seat, a better propitiation, all of those, a better tabernacle, a better. And so for 7 miles in 2 hours, Jesus displays and says to them all things concerning himself from Moses and the prophets. And he begins to tell them systematically how the prophets and the word of Moses has been fulfilled. And he would say to those in that day, he would say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Hallelujah. What a powerful prophetic picture it is. He gets into the room. He makes it to Jerusalem. He sits down with the disciples. They're still unclear. And he says, do you have any meat? And he eats some honeycomb and some fish and honeycomb. And they give him bread. And the scripture said, and he took the bread. And he blessed the bread. And he broke the bread. And he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened in the breaking of the bread. How many know we are illuminated? Our eyes are opened. And we become more aware of who he is, what he is to us, in us, through us, in the breaking of the bread, in the eating of the word, in the bread of life. We come more and more acquainted with him. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes on your walk to Emmaus? Emmaus means yearning. In your place of yearning, how many know sometimes you just need to have a one-on-one with Jesus and say, you know, I don't have this all figured out, and I got a few questions, and my heart is a little bit overwhelmed, but I need you to lead me to the rock that's higher than I. So when I get overwhelmed, I got to find the rock. I got to go to the rock that the builders rejected, going to the stone. Hallelujah. I mean, oh, when I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Hallelujah. But I mean, oh, it's in that time when Jesus said, when their eyes began to be opened and they knew him in the breaking of the bread. Maybe there was something about the way that day on the shore when he took those 5 loaves and those 2 fish from that little lad and said, he took the bread and then he blessed the bread. And he broke the bread. And he fed 5,000 people with it. Yeah. Maybe that day when he began to take that bread and bless that bread and break that bread, how many know it calls to remembrance? He said, Asaph said, I call to remembrance the works, the great things. I started thinking about the Ancient of Days. I started thinking about the wonders of my God. I started remembering some past victories. I started remembering some memorials. I started remembering some miracles that I saw with my own eyes. And my eyes were opened. And my heart was encouraged. Because I knew him in the breaking of the bread. How many know when we come together for communion, it's that we might know him in the breaking of the bread. We discern the Lord's body. Hallelujah. And the Lord's body partakes of his blood, his body. What we're observing is what was already paid for his sister Arlene at the cross of Calvary. We're identifying with his death so that we might identify with his life. We are identifying with his sickness and his beating and his stripes so that we might identify with his healing and his hope and his salvation to us. Hallelujah. We know him in the breaking of the bread. Hallelujah. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Aren't you glad there's something always higher than you? Hallelujah. I heard somebody say the other day, you know, there's some questions you just can't answer. Well, that one's above my pay grade. I mean, sometimes I just don't know all those answers. But I know the rock who is higher than I. Hallelujah. I know the rock who is higher than I. And I know he's not failed me yet. But when my heart is overwhelmed, I just sometimes need to refocus on the rock that is higher than I. The rock rolled away from an empty tomb and gave us access. Hallelujah. How many know when Peter and John ran in and they saw that empty tomb. And it said they saw one angel at the head and they saw one angel at the foot. Hallelujah. I mean, no, that was nothing more than a picture of a blood-sprinkled mercy seat that was in the tabernacle of Moses that said he's not here, but he's risen. Hallelujah. But he came to give you life. He come to be your sacrifice that you might have life through him. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning.